Good to see everyone this morning. Good to be with you. Good to listen to Brother Meekum again. I appreciate his message. I told Brother Caleb, coming down, the young man in my church, I told him, I said, now you're going to hear some good preaching this morning. Brother Meekum's going to be there and you're going to enjoy it. And I'm telling Brother Meekum, I've told him now, because I hate somebody walk up and tell me before I preach. Because I never know how I'm going to do it. I don't know how you feel, but I don't hear whether I can do good or not good until it's over. Then we'll both know. Amen? Praise the Lord. But had a wonderful day in the Lord yesterday, and I thought that everything was going to be good. Coming down here, I had a wonderful time coming down here, and I know you don't understand this at all, but I brought Brother Caleb with me, and I know he don't understand it, but I was feeling good. I just drove all 659 miles myself. I didn't let him drive a foot. He still ain't got to drive. One reason, I want to see every inch of those mountains. I don't even look down the road. I want to see everything there is to see in these mountains. But I had a wonderful, wonderful, I'll explain it to you, week before I came down here. It was one of the most refreshing weeks in years that I'd had from the Lord. I'd tell you about it, but you'd think I was boasting. And if I got to boasting, then I'd lose the anointing. I'd be in trouble. But I did. It was amazing. I was amazed at how God blessed and helped me last week. But when I got down here and got to preaching, Sister Vance, Monday, my mind couldn't grab no scriptures. I was completely, I had a terrible time. So I was glad she wasn't here because she memorized the book of Hebrews. Yeah. She found out I had, so she did. Yeah. And I preached over Brother Mike, and she said, you missed three words. And I said, I know it, but I didn't back up to pick it up, you know. So not because I know you'd be for me whether I'm messed up or not, so I'm not saying it that way. But then I went home that night. When I finally laid down, I had a terrible night. It was a terrible night. I don't know about you, I don't know if you ever done it, but I remember the first time I ever dreamed it. I dreamed I had lost my mind. I knew I was wrong, but I couldn't correct myself. I knew something was not right, but I couldn't control myself. And I dreamed I was in an institution. And I remember coming home. And I got away and come home. And I walked up to my wife. And I wanted to kiss me. She looked at me and I had a white t-shirt on. She said, you're dirty. And I was dirty. And she said, how'd you get out of there? I said, well, I hit the attendant with a brick. I remember seeing the blood, but that didn't bother me. Somehow, I couldn't control that. You know what I mean? When I woke up, it's 4 o'clock in the morning. I got up. I was so disturbed. I got in my car and drove to Springfield, Missouri, which is about 125 miles away, to see my mother. And I just spent the day with her. Now, I've only done that a time or two after that. But Monday night, I dreamed again. I lost my mind. And I was trying to collect things. I was trying to bring things into focus. And once again, I dreamed that this time it was my wife. And I'm 79. I'll be 79 July 23rd. And so I've never been a jealous man. I've never had a lot of problems with jealousy. But I dreamed that things weren't right between us. And I saw a picture, and I saw it folded, where she'd folded it so she could put it in a box where it fit that box. And I got that picture out. And I asked her about the picture. I couldn't see who it was, but asked her about it. And her eyes sparkled. They sparkled. I actually saw them sparkle in my dream. And she just laughed and wouldn't tell me who it was. But I could tell she was glad I didn't know. And she was happy she knew and I didn't. The only good thing about that dream was, I just dreamed. Was I dreamed that I was about to fall out of bed, and Brother David Horton kept me from falling out of bed. And I woke up at the end of that. And in between, I'd wake up, go back to sleep, go right back to that dreaming. When I woke up, I was laying on the edge of bed, and if I'd moved that far, I'd been to the floor. That was the only good thing about that dream. But Tuesday was difficult. Tuesday was difficult. Amen. It's difficult on me preaching. And then Wednesday afternoon, this is Thursday now, I woke up, I laid down and rested just a little while that afternoon. I woke up and something had moved. And I felt better. Hallelujah. Now why are you saying that? Because when Brother Meekum got up and got to preaching, I said, Lord, how in the world with what I've got, how am I going to hook onto that? And I got to think about Brother Meekum early this morning. I was looking at a scripture, and I thought about it. But I've been preaching on a series of things here, and I thought about preaching on it. It was my thought would have been, God has a plan. But then I felt like it's the Lord's will to come back to where I was at. So I'm still preaching on these people that I've been talking to you about. Cain, Balaam, and Korah. I've been preaching for about apostasy. And I hope that I don't get messed up here. I'm going to try to follow the Lord. And I hate to be preach after such refreshing. I needed that. I don't know about you, but I needed that. And then to have to come back down to earth is going to be kind of rough. So you pray for me. And don't forget, when you're praying for different ones, Brother Randy mentioned this once, but W.D. King needs prayer real bad. So don't forget Brother W.D. King as you pray. Amen. So, anyway, this is the last of this as far as this is concerned. Woe unto them, that's the 11th verse, that have gone in the way of Cain, ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. I'm going to quote something here, read you something that S. Maxwell Coder said. In the way of Cain they went away, and in the wandering of Balaam for reward they rushed headlong, and in the rebellion of Korah they perish. He said apostasy begins with a way, it leads to a wandering, it becomes a rebellion. Men enter the false way, they rush headlong in that wandering, they perish in that rebellion. And that's where I got that. In fact, I brought his book with me. I thought I'd refresh myself with it, but I haven't really felt like I should read that. I've tried to depend on the Holy Ghost just to give me what I needed for this. And once again, I'll take your time to remind you that the first characteristic of apostasy is a perversion of worship. I've used several scriptures on that. I even returned back to it yesterday, and I'd like to go back and use some more scriptures today, but I'm not going to do that because I'm overloaded right now, and I don't want to do that. And then it moved from that, amen, in a perversion of morals under Balaam. And last of all, it moves into a perversion of authority, God's authority, amen. Notice, for the perversion of those that are in worship, they're ungodly men. For those that are in perversion of morals, they turn the grace of God into lasciviousness. And for those that are in a perversion of authority, didn't I, the only Lord God, and our Lord, Jesus Christ. In fact, I wrote this down, I don't when, I don't where, I don't how. But I wrote down from verse 11, for Cain it was substitution. For Balaam it was subtly. To be subtle. You know the Bible said, they crept in unawares. We didn't really know who they were. And for Korah, it was subordination. In the doctrine of subordinationism, it's a doctrine that the second and third person of the Trinity are inferior to the first person. We got a lot of that in the world today, huh? Amen? That's just something to think about. Oh, God, help me. Help me. Help me. Amen. Amen. The defilers of the flesh, that's the ones that pervert worship. You'll find a lot of their thinking in Matthew 15, 19, and 20. For those that are a perversion of morals, they despise dominion. They want no restraints. For those that are perversion of authority, they speak evil of dignities. Amen. Now that word speak evil is a kindred word where the Bible said, and we have to be careful, you know, the ninth verse said, yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, dares not bring against him a railing. That's a kindred word. One means the worst type of railing. He dared not challenge the devil's authority. He dared not blaspheme and mock the devil's authority. He dared not blaspheme the devil's ability. Amen? But he said, the Lord rebuked you. In this here, it's where they speak evil of dignities. It brings down where it is people that are smearing the character of good men and destroying the testimony of good men, undermining the influence of good men. Amen? I'm just trying to do my best to stay with this. Amen. Well, you see, this must be important. As I said before, he said he felt constrained of the Holy Ghost to write these things. And then he said to us, remember, I'll put you therefore in remembrance. So you once knew this. After the Lord having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. For 40 years they wandered in the wilderness. They feasted at the Passover. They beat their breast at the atonement. Amen. They brought their sacrifices for their sins, but they believed not, and they died. He said, I want you to remember that. And he said, I want you to go back farther than that. I want to go back before every man was on the face of the earth and remember the apostasy of the angels. Remember them. Amen. And then he came to even Sodom and Gomorrah. And that, I want to say something about this because this is the time of sodomy. This is the days of Lot. We're in it. Huh? But when I preach this way, I'm not saying that you cannot be saved if you're a sodomite, man or woman. I'm simply saying that I believe you can. And the reason why I believe, I've seen them saved. I've seen them live for God and live right. So I believe that. It's rare, but it happens. But in the time of sodomy, notice, these people had at one time knew the truth. They one time, and I think maybe I may have covered this some of my brother Roberts, I'm not sure. But at one time they knew the truth because the Bible said they gave themselves over to fornication. Huh? They gave themselves over to fornication. They allowed themselves to go that direction. And then the Bible said, at that they gave themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, they set forth an example suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Amen? They gave themselves over to, and then something compelled them to move on into homosexuality. Just they, but it was a fact that they were the ones decided to go after fornication. Huh? They were the ones that made decided. You say, Brother Charles, you sure we're living in the last days? The Bible talks about Lot, amen, living in a day, amen, when he was, his righteous soul was vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. You can't drive to a McDonald's anymore of an evening without hearing some of the worst language you ever heard, huh? And the Bible said he heard and he saw their deeds. And you ain't careful, you'll see some things that you don't want to see. I say, Jesus said, as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be in the days of the coming Son of Man. I say we are in the apostasy. We're in the falling away. We're in the moving over just a little bit. Huh? Mom and daddy, sister and brother, whatever it may, they may have lived good like this, but we don't need to do that. Huh? I'm trying to preach to you. I hope I'm not wearing you out, but I'm trying to preach to you and talk to you. Amen. In fact, there's something I want to read you. I've got a note here somewhere that I wrote down years and years ago. In fact, it's 1986, so I think it was. But I took something from the pulpit commentary concerning that verse about going to Sodom and Gomorrah. It says, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh. The verbs are selected to bring out the intense sinfulness of the sin, the one being a strong compound from expressing unreserved surrender, the other an equally strong compound form denoting a departure from the law of nature in the impurity of practice. Amen? So we're talking about the last thing is a perversion of authority. We don't want authority. Let me just read one more scripture now, and then I'll read some more. The book of Romans. Again, we go back to the book of Romans. The first thing the Bible said, they fail to give God the glory. They reduce him. Now, I've talked about that yesterday. I'm not going to go back over that, those four things. I'm not going to go back. Amen. But they fail in worship. Could I say something without hurting your feelings? There are people that work and they rush to get to church, but they can't make it on time because they work. There's people that have such a heavy load that they can't get around for church. So I'm not going to say if you make it to church on time and you can't make it on church, if you make it work on time, you can't make it on church on time, there's something wrong with you. But I want to tell you something. When you work and you get home and you got plenty of time, and because you don't feel like whether you can come into whatever part of the service you want to come into, and it'll be all right, that is a form of worship and it's ungodly. I don't mean to hurt your feelings, but brother, the one thing that caught the Queen of Sheba's attention was the way that Solomon and his attendants went to the house of God. And it catches the world's attention. Amen. It catches the world's attention when they watch how we come to the house of God. You don't think the world's watching. They are watching us. They watch how we have church. They watch everything. I'm saying, and I wouldn't hurt your feelings, nothing. I wouldn't hurt you for nothing in the world. No, I wouldn't do it at all. But oh, if you're just getting in the habit of being slothful and just dragging in and dragging in a little later all the time, amen, shake yourself, stir yourself, and say, I'm going to do better than that because I'm a reflection of how much I love God. This involves my worship. Amen. Praise the Lord. You can do like I do. I say, amen, I use it for a lightning rod. Keep from getting struck. Amen. I studied years ago, and I see a priest on over to Richlands, I think, on the word amen, and it's an acrostic according to the Jews that I read after, and it means God is trustworthy. Amen. You'll find it seven times in the book of Revelation. God is trustworthy. Amen. Praise the Lord. So if you say amen, you're just saying God is trustworthy. I can listen to you, Brother Charles, but God's trustworthy. Holler amen. That's all right. Amen. So, I'm trying to get to this. Now, I want to go to the book of Numbers, the 16th chapter. We're talking about Korah. We're talking about this man. And I want to, if I can say, I'm in the 16th chapter book of Ezekiel. I thought that looked funny. All right, but I do have number 16. All right, here we go. I want you to listen to what Torah said. Now the third verse. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron and said to them, you take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore, then lift you up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord. When Moses heard it, he fell on his face. He recognized this was one of the worst things could happen to them. And that is where they were challenging and perverting God's authority. Amen. It was God that put Moses in. It was God that put Aaron in. Now they are subverting that authority that comes from God. I want to read a little more. I want to read it, and you may be think it's strange, but I want to go to the book of 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. I know this may not be preaching, but this is what God wants. I'm just giving it to you because I'm sure it's God what God wants. Amen. In the 10th chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians, the Bible says, neither, 7th verse, 10 and 7, amen, talks about these were our examples. It said, neither be ye idolaters, as for some of them as written. The people sat down to eat and drink, and rose up to play. Neither let us commit the fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day, 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of the serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for examples. They're written for admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth, take heed, lest he fall. God got to dealing with me about that this morning, and I got to look in this. Now notice here, the first thing you're running into is idolatry. Amen. This happened because of the good intentions of a saint of God. The Bible said Aaron was a saint. And the people said, this Moses is gone, and we need someone to lead us away. And he made the golden calves. And he said, tomorrow is a feast unto the Lord. Isn't that what he said? That was Aaron, the saint of God, saying that. He helped in that. And so you can find that in the book of Exodus, where he said there in Exodus 32, and tomorrow is a feast of the Lord. And so he was going to have a feast. But the Bible said here, they sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. I'll tell you, the Bible said the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the divine and the son of the soul, spirit, joints, and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither are any creatures not manifest this sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. If Aaron would have sought God about that, it would have been a different story. Huh? So the first thing we see is a well-intended preacher. He meant well. He was just trying to hold things together until Moses got back. He didn't mean to tear things up. But Moses came back and he got angry. He said, you've made the people naked. Huh? It reminded me, some time ago I was talking to a man and his wife, and they was telling about I guess it's the largest church in that city, having a baptized and a swimming pool and a cookout and preaching and what have you. And I was interested in that because I have several of my relatives go there. One of them's dead now. He was a lawyer. His son's a lawyer. And then one of them's a chairman of a bank there. Well, I wish I had some of that. You know, I go to the funerals of our family. I say, oh, Charles, you can always depend on him. Well, never has happened. Anyway, amen. But anyway, I was interested in that because the minister of music there is not really my cousin, but he's like cousins. I go to their homecomings, and the reason why I do that when they have a get-together, if I can, he's very nice. He's a kind man, and his grandfather was my mother's first husband's brother. He was also a Pentecostal preacher. He's a little strange. He believed that if you wouldn't sin, you wouldn't be sick. That was his belief. Amen. But he couldn't prove that. He finally died. He's almost 100. And so he almost did. But anyway, and different things about him. One time he cut his foot. He wouldn't go to the doctor. Didn't believe you ought to go to the doctor. Cut his foot. Amen. There's some boys up the road. I'd call their names, but there might be somebody to get back to them. They made fun of him because he wouldn't go to the doctor. Right after one of them cut his foot with a chopping axe, just like Uncle Henry had. And I called him Uncle Henry because I didn't know the difference. I was raised as though we weren't related. There's my brothers and sisters, half brothers and sisters, brothers and sisters. Their dad had died, and then mom married my dad, and so we were just all family. And so Uncle Henry cut his foot, and then that guy made fun of him. The boys did. One of them cut his foot. They went to the doctor. The infection set in. They almost lost their leg. Uncle Henry's foot got well and went on. But it's strange. He is a Pentecostal preacher, but nobody liked to hear him preach, hardly, because he spoke of some practical matters. But, amen, he had ordered somehow. He ordered a bride. He got a mail order bride. And Aunt Lily was a full-blood German from Germany. Amen. Well, at this time I was about 7 years old, and she gave me a name that stuck with me forever. When I was little. I went over there one day to Uncle Henry and Aunt Lily's, and I'm digressing here, but this is kind of funny, and I like to think about it. And so Aunt Lily and the girls, I might say they raised beautiful girls and successful boys. Amen. They were in business. They'd done various things. One farmer, he owns a lot of land. One owned a car dealership and whatever. So, amen. See, mail order brides and can do all right. Amen. You know what I mean? Hallelujah. Amen. They didn't get it through some firm up here that runs it on a computer to see if you're compatible. Amen. He just needed a wife, and she is a girl from Germany and needed a place to live. Amen. Come in on the train, settle down, made a family. But anyway, I was over there, and her and her daughter's in there, and it's canned them peaches. And I was about 7 years old, and it's canned peaches, and canning them with sugar. I mean, it's all cut up. I see they're just gold in that big pot, Brother Mike. And I went over by there, and I was watching them, you know, and I didn't think anybody was watching me, so I grabbed a handful of those sweet peaches, and I shoved them in my mouth, amen, Brother Roberts, and I headed for the door, amen, and I got sweetness. And Aunt Lily wore men's brogan shoes. She didn't wear slippers. She wore shoes. And about the time I reached for the screen door, her foot reached the seat of my pants, and she hollered, "Get out of here, you little devil!" And I hit that door. I didn't go through it, but mend the door. When it stopped, I kept going. But I went over the hill, I was just as happy, I was satisfied, because she got what she wanted, and I got what I wanted, amen. She'd been wanting to do that for a long time, amen, and I got those sweet peaches, hallelujah, amen. So, you know, it's just a great day, but there, after that, seemed like people just kind of stuck that to me. You know, I just always into it. I was always into it. I was always getting whippings. Always doing that. So I think Aunt Lily was the one that done that to me. Anyway, amen, her grandson is a minister of music. And they tell me that this well-intentioned Baptist preacher preached, if I understood it right, wearing a pair of swim trunks. Huh? What are you saying? I'm saying there's a lot of good-intentioned people today that are taking their congregation down the wrong way. Huh? Amen. I'm not trying to be smart. I'm not trying to be hateful. But I want you to notice what happens after you have good-intentioned preachers that are moving people the wrong way. I got to look at this morning, Brother Height, and I thought, why do we start here with idolaters, fornicators, and then tempting Christ, and then murmuring? Why do we start in the 25th chapter of Numbers, go back to the 21st chapter of Numbers, and then on back to the 14th chapter? Why didn't it start 14, 21, and 25? I thought, what in the world is that? And I got to look at this, and I saw a relationship with the same thing, Cain, Balaam, and Korah. It's the same thing. It's the same digression. Notice it. The Bible said, now, neither be idolaters, and as someone, that well-intended preacher. Then it said, neither let us commit fornication as some of them. There's a relationship here. I mean, just in the digression let us commit fornication. Some of them committed and fell in one day 20,000. Think about that. I think I'm messing up here, but I hope I'm not. But just look at this. All right? Amen. The Bible tells us about Balaam. Do you remember Balaam? You remember that one? The Bible said in the 25th chapter, the Bible said the daughters of Moab begin to commit fornication with the men of Israel. Here is a preacher that come in. Amen. And brother, did he have the message. I made mention of it yesterday. I can hear one lady talk another. Have you been down to hear that new preacher that's in holding meeting down at the local theater, you know, the amphitheater? Have you heard him preach? Amen. I'm telling you, he's preached on, one day preached on how, amen, in our travels, how godly we were. He's preached on how strong we were. He's preached how God blessed we were. And then last night he preached on the coming of the Lord, and you never heard such a prophecy preacher in all your life. I'm telling you, wish you'd been there. Oh, we're blessed to have him. And besides this, he's having a men's retreat and invited my husband, a lot of the great nobles of the congregation of Israel. There's a lot of men going to go to his men's retreat. I know it's going to be spiritual. And they just laughed and talked about how good it was until the day come whenever she come got the news that her husband had died in the arms of another woman. Amen. Phinehas. Oh, who's Phinehas? He don't have a very big following because he's always talking about right and wrong and what God wants and what God doesn't want. He's always preaching to us. Amen. I don't care about Phinehas. Amen. He didn't go. No, he wouldn't go. He's too self-righteous to go. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Charles, you're something wrong with you. I've had them say it to me in church. Said to me one time, they said to me, I wouldn't take the people and go down to the old soldiers and sailors reunion, the carnival. Amen. They had us down there singing. The Assembly of God, a man at that time, we were friends. He called me. He was the over the ministerial alliance. I don't have much you know, so I don't much about it, but he called me and said, we'd like for you to take your church down and sing. Now, you can't preach, but you want to sing. And I thought, why should I take my church down there when I was in sin? I wouldn't take a decent girl down there. If I took somebody down there, she wasn't nothing. You know what I mean? If I had any respect for a woman, I wouldn't take her to that place. Why should I go down there? And I preached against that one time, and a woman made fun of me. And she went down there and took her children down there. They were grown. They were teenagers. And she come to this place up there by Mammoth Spring and give her old pickup the gas. And they sat in the back. And she's trying to beat another car. And she'd give it so much gas, they fell out in the middle of the road and nearly got run over. Why should I go down there? But you know what they got around? They said, you don't fellowship. You don't fellowship. And they got to Cumberland. Some of them come to me finally. And I said, look here. I said, I named it. I said, you know the Assembly of God Church? I said, yeah. I said, they had a revival. I've been over there. I said, the Free Will Baptist Church, they had a revival. I've been over there. I said, the First Baptist Church had a revival. I've been over there. I said, name me one pastor that's been over here. Yeah. Oh, we love that prophecy preaching. We love the way that he talks about how good. He never gets on to us. I like that preacher. Amen. Hallelujah. But he's perverting the morals. Oh, we won't worry about that. Just as long as you make us feel good. Keep ourselves teachers having itching ears. Be turned from the truth and turned to fables. I'm talking about a perversion of the authority that God gives us through his word. Amen. Praise God. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of the serpents. You remember, if I can take this a minute, I'll get that in a minute in my mind. Amen. This is, if I remember right, wasn't that where Korah? No. This is where they spake against Moses and they spake against God and said, our soul loatheth this light bread. Huh? We don't like this God-given bread. Am I doing all right? Hallelujah. Hey, remember Harmon Wilson? He said, you don't have to say amen. I know my calling. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm trying to talk to you this morning. We are in the midst of apostasy. We've got friends and loved ones that are going in that direction. We got close associates that are going that way. We got ministers that are going that way. We got deacons that are going that way. We got churches that are going that way. And we've got some that are already gone. Great God, help us, Lord, to realize and become concerned, not that we might blaspheme and rail on others, but that we might look at ourselves and see them and say, oh, God, help us. Please help us, Lord. We've got love that's going there. I don't like it. I try to pray for my family. I don't down here. I don't read the Bible like I do at home. Amen. But I try to pray for my family and all of my sisters that goes to these churches. And I say, Lord, save every lost member in that family. That's all I know to say. I don't know what to say. Amen. They claim to be all right. Everything's all right. Amen. I don't know about you. I'm not a great authority on this, but I'm just trying to say, amen, that when I look at this and realize that they tempted, they and murmured, as some of you are murmured and was destroyed, others destroyed. Open rebellion. They turned against God. Amen. Open rebellion. Amen. They turned against God. They turned against Him. They wanted to vote in new teachers and our new leaders. Said, let's vote in new leaders. And they spake of stone and Aaron and Moses. Amen. They openly rebelled against God. Amen. When Korah rebelled, it cost his family and all those associated with him to die. It cost 250 people that were given incense to die. It cost the people that would murmur and said, you've killed the people of God. Korah had such influence, he turned practically the whole church against Moses. And 14,700 people died in that affair. And finally, God had to do, you know what he had to do? He had to take Aaron's rod and have him put the 12 tribes rod in with it. And when they come out the next morning, amen, there was Aaron's rod. It had blossoms, amen, it had buds, it had blossoms, it had almonds, and it settled. It took a miracle of God, amen, to stop that rebellion that started from a man. And even when he died and they swallowed him up, the church said, it's your fault. And I want to tell you, if we make it through this line, then we're going to. How you know? Because, listen, I'll just read it to you. I'm not doing good, but I'm doing the best I can. Said, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father, preserved in Christ Jesus and called, mercy unto you, peace and love be multiplied. You can't help but make it with that. Huh? You can't help but make it with that. Glory be to God. But think how people have such little feeling toward God's word. His authority don't mean anything anymore. I wish I could preach to you. You know what the Bible said? Perish in the gainsaying the core. They tell me, people that's supposed to know, they tell me that word gainsaying means against the word. They're against the word. Huh? You know, I don't really love preaching things that you find trouble with. I'd love to preach something to help you all the time. But I'm trying to get you to heaven. I'm not trying to get you to feel good here. I'm trying to get you to heaven. I'm trying to get you a place where you won't look at me and despise me and despise God's bread. Amen. Say, I don't like that. My soul loathes that light bread. Huh? I don't like that. Let's elect a leader. Let's get a new pastor. Huh? Woo! Glory be to God. Amen. Have an election. Get it over with. Hallelujah. I'm trying to talk to you. No, I don't like that. Amen. But I am saying I don't like the idea of hurting your feelings. I really don't. You know, when I think back, brothers and sisters, I'm not lying about this. Many a day, amen, Brother Paul Blanton, I think about how smart aleck I was when I was a kid. I was always in trouble in high school, always in everything. And I think, Lord, I'm such a rude person. And I think of things that I did here at churches and whatever. That was just nothing more than rude and crude. And I say, please, God, don't let me be that way. Don't let me be that way. Amen. I don't want to be that way. I don't want to be that way. But, brother, listen. It's one thing to tell a lie, but it's worse to preach a lie. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So they go down. A perversion of worship, a perversion of morals, and then a perversion of authority. And the Bible said they perished. That's a terrible word to me. That has a haunting sound to me. Oh God. Oh God. Oh God. Hallelujah. That sounds like someone falling off of a cliff and screaming as they go down. They perished. They perished. They perished. I know it probably don't mean this. And I'm not saying it does. But look, one little thing I've often wondered about, and you tell me what it means. I don't know what it means. It says, a man that is a heretic, after the first and second admonition, reject. Hope for that man that's perverting worship, that can change. Hope for that person that's in morality, it can be overcome. Hallelujah. Is there any hope for the person that says there's nothing to the Word of God? They retranslate the Bible. They redo this. They redo that. And then they explain the rest of it. They make it myths. Amen. Amen. And the women stand with their slacks on. Huh? Amen. And their jewelry on and their makeup on. And their hair cut just like a man's. And they stand and teach thousands and say, this is what God wants you to do. This is what God wants you to do. This is what God wants you to do. You know, I could go along with some things, but I'll tell you something. There's something about it that we got to realize, and that is the fact that the Bible said the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable. And if you wear a man's apparel, it says it's abomination inside of God. Can you find me any place in the Bible where God changed his mind? I'm just asking you the question. I humbly ask you that question. You see, there's something I wrote down here one time. I haven't preached this that I'm preaching here to the church, but I did preach on it, started to preach on it, and got sidetracked. I don't know if you ever do that or not. But, you know, the favorite scripture now is, man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looketh on the heart. Huh? Where do we get that? Now, the Bible said, remember the Old Testament, and it said, remember the New Testament. You can read that book of Jude there. It says, remember the words of the apostle that Christ spoke to them and warned us. Amen? Where did we get that? Where did that come from? God looketh on the heart. Why come out of the Old Testament? That's where it came from. And you know what? In the Old Testament, God was such a sticker, and you can read it in Numbers. I ain't going to take time to do it. But in Numbers 15, 38 through 40, you can read where God told them how to put their ribbon in the hem of their garment. You know what he said to do that for? He said, that ye may remember and do all my commandments and be holy unto your God. Why don't they use that scripture and say, amen. In the Old Testament, God told them how to rest, and I had three things that if I remember. Do all his commandments, and remember, do all his commandments and be holy to your God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why do I dress like I dress? It's I remember the fact that I want to do his commandments and be holy. I'm not trying to impress you. I'm not trying to prove that I'm something. But did you know, my friend, amen, as I said before, we have those that dress in such a manner, got their eyes and face painted like Jezebel, and they're teaching thousands of people to know the Lord. I don't understand that at all. We have men that are on the radio and on the television. Amen. And they sing their lovely songs and they talk their good thoughts and they tell people how that it's God's will. It is the Bible that so given it shall be given. I believe that. I built a church on it. Amen. And I know it'll work. Amen. But at the same time, when they tell you if you give up hundreds, you'll only get hundreds back. If you give up thousands, you'll get thousands back. And if you give 10,000, you'll get 10,000 back. Amen. Why don't they take that message to Bangladesh? Why don't they take that message to the poor in Mexico? Why are they over here in the land of affluency preaching that message, huh? Because it only works where money is.
That's right.
Hallelujah. 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 But that's what's teaching our nation. That's what's molding the thinking and the religious thinking. In fact, it got so bad. Amen. When it got so bad, I think about how that it was. Amen. That people that told me the other day, I know so, but somebody told me, there's a former member of my church that was on the Facebook and talking about my church and said, I used to belong to a cult. You're a cult if you believe the Bible.
Yeah. Right.
You're a cult. fault if you, I don't mold nobody around me. I don't ask anybody to live like me. I try to live, be an example to them. But I try to preach, thus saith the Lord. In fact, I was preaching one time, and I was preaching on, first, I won't tell you what it's about, 1 Corinthians 11. You know, I won't tell you what it is. But anyway, I was preaching on that, and I reminded them in the Bible, it said, remember them who have the rule over you, who have spoken to you the word of God. Amen. Whose faith follow, consider in their conversation Jesus Christ. Amen. The same yesterday and today and forever. That's Hebrews 13:7. Amen. And I told him that Bible said, says think well of them. It means to think well of them. And then it says in the 17th verse, it says obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they must give account, that they may do with joy, not grief. That is improper for you. I said that means to consider and think about it and give real consideration to what they're saying. And then at the last verse there in the 21st, amen, it says, I salute all them that have the rule over you, and all of them that have the rule over you, and salute all them that have the rule over you. Well, I'll just leave it that, because what I was saying, salute all them that have the rule over means to embrace them, means to hug them. And you know, and I was preaching on holiness, and when I went out the door, two big old men grabbed me and hugged me.
All right. Good.
Hallelujah. One of them still with me. The other moved away. He didn't move to the next church. He had moved to Plum to another state. Loved me when he left me. Amen. He didn't agree with what I was saying, but he loved me. Amen. I have hopes, my friend, when we can look at something. That's the Bible, Brother Charles. I don't see it maybe like you do, but you're preaching the truth. God will bless you, amen, for standing up for the man of God and the word of God. And God will bless you more when you move into the realm where you can look at that, amen, from a neutral standpoint and say it's not God, how it affects me, it's how it affects God. Amen. When you come to that place, my friend, you're on the road to a great time with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I feel good. I know I don't believe, I shouldn't. Amen. But when I think about that, that you may remember. Hallelujah. That you may remember. Hallelujah. I don't want to digress. Do you? Hallelujah. The other day I preached on, I'm on the upward climb. Amen. Hallelujah. And I made this statement. I may have made it over Brother Roberts. I'm not so interested. I know heaven's a wonderful place. I know we'll be there waiting for him right there. You know what I'm interested right now in? That upward climb. I'm interested in that. Hallelujah. Even while I leave this work, this walk of life, there'll be no more secrets in the Bible for me to find. Like this morning. Hallelujah. In the 10th chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians. There'll be no more secrets there for me to find. There'll be no more. Amen. I can watch, pray through to salvation. Amen. And see them saved by the grace of God. There'll be no more that I can see people receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. There'll be no more healings and nothing like that. Amen. There'll be nothing there that I can do but enjoy the kingdom of God. And I'm sure it'll be worth it. But since I'm enjoying my trip right now, why hurry the thing, huh? Hallelujah. Praise God. I get to coming down these mountains. I'm not in no hurry to get here. I'm just happy to be riding along looking. Hallelujah. And I'm happy on my way to heaven. Praise God. Praise God. A perversion of the authority that God gives us. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. You know. We don't want to forget to exhort along that. Like I said, I'm not here to run you down. I'm not here to blaspheme you. Amen. I'm not here to blaspheme the homosexual lifestyle. Amen. I'm not here, but I'm here to tell you that they that do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Amen. The kingdom of heaven. You'll not make it. And you know there's something strange about this. I don't know if it means anything to it. But did you know the Bible said concerning this days of Korah? It says, wherefore God gave them up. That is uncleanness. That is the dishonored body. That's change into morals. And then the next step down, who changed the truth of God into a lie, worshiped and served the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forevermore. And for this cause, God gave them up into vile affections, for even their women to change the natural use into that which is against nature. Likewise also the men leave the natural use of woman, burning the lust one to another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving themselves that recompense of the reward, their error which was meet. And I'm closing, but I want to say something. I have seen it in the churches. I don't know how it is in the world, but did you know in the churches, it seemed like it's more among the women than among the men. It starts, seemed like, with the women more than it does the men. I've just watched it. I've watched it going back. I'll go back 30 years, amen, when it's happened, and it was happened between the women. There's something about that. How do we change that, Brother Charles? First, we quit the adultery business and the fornicating. Huh? Fornicating is whoredoms. You can look at in the Bible, three times in the Old Testament, it mentions fornication. Every time it mentions harlots and whoredoms. Amen. Fornication is whoredom. If we'll quit that multiplicity of running around and doing things, amen, premarital sex and then postmarital sex and all that, if we can stop the adultery, we can kill the sodomy. Amen. I believe it. But as long as we look at them and turn up our nose and we're involved in the other, God is not going to stop one till we get. Did you know what? God has such a love for his saints that if he can find righteous people, amen, he will have mercy. Somebody said, why don't God send judgment? I think it's because there's too many praying people still left in the United States of America. He told Abraham, and Abraham said, you surely won't destroy the righteous. He said, I'll do better than that. If you can find me 10 men that'll pray, that'll live right, I'll save the cities. Amen. Every sodomite alive, amen, will still be alive. The reason why he destroyed them was because the church had lost its effectiveness and was no longer doing the job. Amen. I want to do better than that. You know why? I've got relatives in that. Amen. I got friends in that. Amen. I got neighbors in that. Hallelujah. I've got people that I raised. Amen. Right on the church pew from the time they were babies. They're involved in that, Brother Joy. Amen. My God, I can't stand the thought of them going to hell. Hallelujah. I'm on that upper road, leading to the soul's abode, where forever my soul shall be free. Hallelujah. Won't that be a happy time? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But what about living in Canaan now? Each up behind. Crossed over Jordan wide. Gladness to find. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. I love this walk. I'll just worship. Hallelujah. Sometimes in the night I get so weary. Sometimes I get so tired. And then I look at the face of that boy that come into this world. And I look at him laying there, can't even scratch his nose. And I say, oh God, give me a little more strength, a little more time. Amen. Don't let me die as long as he's alive. Don't let me. Amen. Amen. I get down to pray. And I remember people like Jim Cherry that used to live on the face of this earth. He's been gone a long time. Bless Sister Clarizelle, Lord. Don't let Jim's children be lost. He lived and prayed for them. He wanted to see them saved. Amen. And Lord, don't let my son leave without the victory of God in his soul. I know he claims to be saved. And I know every time I pray, and this is the truth, when I get to pray, if his cross is in my mind, there's such a presence of God comes over me, it shakes me. So I'm leaving that in the hand of God. But I'm anxiously waiting for the time, amen, when I'll see him shake.